something we can't earn, but man, do we want it. Grace. Love that stoops down. Now, forgiveness and grace go really hand in hand. So we're going to continue our theme of forgiveness and grace today through the story. It's a story from Jesus' ministry. He is in Jerusalem at the time, and we'll get into that. So again, we're in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, and it says, follow with me. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, he said to them, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Great. So let's pause right here. Let's take this story kind of piece by piece. And let's pause here and let's set the scene. So picture it. Sicily, 1922. Wait, that might be the wrong reference. And that did not land a laugh. No Golden Girls fans in the audience today. So we're in Jerusalem. It's during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. It's a big harvest feast, and all of the native-born Israelite males are commanded to go to Jerusalem for this festival. So Jerusalem, not a real big city, is packed. We're talking shoulder to shoulder, wall to wall. Everybody's in Jerusalem. It's a big party time. We see already that Jesus has been teaching. He's been there a while. And in earlier chapters of this text, we find that the Pharisees, Jesus has just been generally infuriating the Pharisees, just, and they're trying to catch him. They're trying to find some offense that they could try him on. So they're trying to trap him, they're trying to catch him. And this is what they do. They say, okay, we got Jesus this time. They brought him a woman that had been caught in adultery. Notice that the word caught is in green. That might mean it's a little bit important. She was caught. Now, without going into detail, she's liable. She's 100% guilty. Caught in the act. She is done. She is toast. Caught. There's no getting out of this one. Continuing on. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. These are the Pharisees going, yep, Moses says we can stone them. What do you say, Jesus? What's your take on this? They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. So the Pharisees are laying a trap. They're saying, you know what? This is cool. We're going to catch Jesus because Jesus is a Jew and Jews uphold the law. So Jesus has to uphold the law, right? Jesus is in a pickle. Basically, he's got two choices. He can appease the Pharisees. This guilty woman, very guilty, she's caught in the act, she's done it, gets stoned, and he upholds the law, appeases the Pharisees, saves his own skin. Or he can practice what he preaches. He can do what he says he's going to do. He can show grace and show mercy to somebody who is obviously 100% guilty. Let's see what happens. Grace. He can offer her grace, unmerited favor. He can say, you know what? Cool. But that holds him accountable. Pharisees get him. He's done. What does Jesus do? Verse 6, the second half. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. So if you back up, so the Pharisees have just said, so what are you going to do, Jesus? Ha-ha, we've caught you. Jesus takes a second, and he bends down. He starts writing in the dirt. And so this always kind of makes me chuckle. It always kind of makes me go, what on the earth are you doing, Jesus? Like, he could be coming up with a retort. He could be talking about the law. He could be, you know, roundhouse kicking the Pharisees in the face, all very un-Jesus-y things to do. I don't think he would actually do any of those. But he doesn't. He bends down and he writes with his finger on the ground. We have no idea what's being written. No idea. It could be everything about this woman that nobody knows, that she thinks nobody knows. It could be all the sins of the accusers around her. It could be words from the law. But what's the lesson in this moment that Jesus takes and he gets down and he starts scribbling in the dirt? What's the lesson here? The takeaway from this particular part of this lesson, of the story, is that we need to take a beat. Nick talked a lot to us about forgiveness, and sometimes forgiveness is very proactive. Take a beat before you're going to say something that you regret. Take a beat. Think about your actions. Think about what's going to happen next. So as they continue to ask him, he stood up and he said, here it goes. This is the Jesus thing. So Jesus has been writing in the dirt. Who knows what's written in the dirt? He stands up and he says to them, he says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. And one more time, he bent down and he wrote on the ground. Mic drop. Jesus had just laid the gauntlet. He delivered the, like, one of the best one-liners in the history of one-liners. Like, great, let you who is without sin go on, throw the first rock. Let me paraphrase this for you. You who, y'all who, closets have no skeletons, dirty laundry's been bleached, never been an Insta-tweet face snap filter, have at it. Throw the rock. She's good. She's good as dead. If there are no skeletons in your closet, she's done. You can do it. Have at it. And what you got to think about is Jesus gets back down to the dirt. This is my favorite part of this whole story, because just think about the contradiction that's happening right there. You have the lowest of the low. You have a woman caught in sin against her body. Scripture says that's a bad one. She is likely only clothed in the grime and the dirt that she's laying in now. Tear-stained face, naked, broken, shameful, in the dirt. And stooped down next to her, the highest of the high, the Word become flesh, perfectly human, fully God, in the dirt, right next to her. He's there. He's on her level. Just think about that. Here's what the Pharisees do. When they heard Jesus say, you've got nothing, throw the rock. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. So in the end, all of this was just Jesus and this woman. We're not even given her name. We don't know her. I think there's a point behind that. In that moment, you got to be wondering what was going through her mind. I mean, she had to be thinking, this is the end of the end. This is the end of my life. You know, and there's Jesus, and he's bent down in the dirt with her, and we're there, and he's like, well, maybe I'm going to be, you know, unless the Pharisees are incredibly good shots, which I don't have any authority that they were, Jesus is probably going to get hit with a rock or two, too. And she's like, am I going to be culpable for that, too? My goodness, you know she had to be terrified. You know she had to be. And then it happens. She hears stones hit the dirt. One by one, the angry mob of people in the public square leave. And what was her worst nightmare has become her greatest miracle. Here's where it's interesting. You got to remember, it's just the woman and Jesus. They're there together. Her accusers are gone. Here's where the grace comes. Don't miss this. Jesus stood up and he said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, don't miss it. Neither do I condemn you. go, and from now on, sin no more. That's grace. That's the definition. She didn't deserve that. The only person ever, being fully God, that could actually condemn her for her action says, you know what? I don't condemn you. Today's not the day. I don't condemn you for that. What she deserved, what she was guilty of, you have to remember, caught in the act, 100% liable, she is as good as dead. And Jesus says, you know what? I've got something better in mind. She owes a debt to society, to the law, that is payable with her life. Jesus says, I have a better idea. I've got something better in mind. That's grace. That's unmerited favor. Now, what he didn't give her was a license to keep on sinning. Notice he says, I don't condemn you, but from now on, we're not going to sin anymore. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, this is fire insurance, faith sister. I'm going to save you from hell, but you go on and do what you want to do. That's not how this works. That the fruit of a changed life comes out. You don't keep sinning. So why do we even care about the story? Cool story, bro, but why do I care? Here's why we care. Because if we're honest with ourselves, and we're really, really honest, deep down to the heart of ourselves, that woman laid low in the dirt, guilty, sinful, shameful, naked, and broken. She's us. She's me. She's you. She's everybody that you ever meet. She's us. Why is that important? Because in my lowest moments, when I am broken, I am messed up, I don't have anything to hold me together. You know what? Jesus comes. Jesus doesn't stand over us and lord over us and say, well, pick yourself up, sister girl. Get on up. You'll be fine. Bootstraps and all. Nope. That's not what Jesus does. Broken and shamed, Jesus stoops in the dirt, looks in your face, and says, oh, child, I have something better in mind. Folks, that's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. It's, I have something better in mind. Now, you know, I'm talking today, and maybe grace is not something you've ever received. You've never said, hey, I know I'm that woman in the dirt. That's where I am. I'm her right now. If you've never done that, I implore you, I encourage you, seek faith in Christ, because he's the one that will pick us right out of the dirt. Maybe you've never heard that Jesus took on a debt that we cannot pay, that he did not earn, to give us that gift of grace that we did not deserve. Maybe you've never heard that. Today I pray that you hear that you take that in. Maybe you've made that commitment, praise God, and you're on the road, and you have realized just how much dirt you've picked up. Brother and sister, I encourage you, seek God. Give those cares, those burdens, those concerns over to God. He'll guide your steps. Maybe your walk is strong. Praise God for his merciful grace every day. That's grace. Now, here at Layman's Church, I'm going to get you guys to help me. This is participatory. This is going to be great. We like to talk about the greatest command. We like to talk about how Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here, we abbreviate it LGLP, which means love God, love people. Love God, love people. So, in closing, I leave you with this. Remember, in the mess and muck of things, love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. But that love that stoops, that's grace. Let Jesus meet you in that grace. Thanks, guys.